Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
Well, it's time to get down to business, so.
There you go.
My wife was concerned I was going to wear that hat, but only when I'm outside because it's cold out there. Hallelujah. But it's warm in here because of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And he has a message for us tonight.
Yes, he does.
He is good.
Prayers
good
of deliverance for spiritual entrepreneurs.
Amen.
If you want to be successful, whatever business you're in, you need revelatory insight into marketing trends and consumer demands. Hunches don't work. In fact, you'll get in a, if you follow a hunch, you'll get into a financial difficulty quicker than you can say, yippee-ki-yay. You like that? Yippee-ki-yay. You get in trouble.
I like it better than your hat. Okay. But that's true. You have to have revelation and insight.
No matter what your position.
That's right.
You're God's spiritual entrepreneur for his kingdom right here on planet Earth. And that means you need an entrepreneurial coach. One who knows the ins and outs of the marketplace, the workplace, your place, everywhere.
Main Street.
Yep. One who's not only creative, but who stirs in each of us a determinability to finish while we start. And that's the key.
Truth be told,
you and I have a coach. We have an entrepreneurial coach. What are you thinking?
24/7.
Okay.
I am thinking. I'm always thinking. And he gives us the best advice.
24/7, always available to us. And he gives us the best insight, without a doubt.
That's right.
He can also lead us to other connections that we need within our area or sphere of influence.
That's right.
And that's what he can do.
That's what
he does. And the entrepreneur we're talking about,
obviously,
is the Lord. 24/7. He's there. I'm not going to go there.
He recently talked to you, though.
He did.
We were talking.
And he
was talking.
And he gave me a sevenfold prayer for spiritual entrepreneurs, people who want to be delivered from any and everything that's held them back in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that tonight.
For 2018.
But I just got to say.
Hallelujah.
Just because somebody calls himself a coach, doesn't mean they know what they're talking about.
Just ask.
Because if you don't believe that, look at the National Football League. I think one day last week, 7 coaches got fired. So in one day. So that means just because you call yourself a coach, means you know what you're talking about. You know, what we're talking about is a coach who's always right. And he's the great I Am, the everlasting one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright Morning Star, Sweet Rose of Sharon, and everything
else. A lot of other things.
All that was, is, or ever will be.
Yeah, but the one key, the one outstanding key, is to stay close to him.
That's it.
And be listening.
He gave us
tuned.
Sevenfold prayer of deliverance.
There you go.
For spiritual entrepreneurs in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, prayer of revelation.
Yep.
How do you get revelation?
First thing?
You ask for it.
That's it.
You ask for it. Your prayer for entrepreneurial revelation should consist of 7 keys. This is not just true for financial success, but it's true for everything in life.
That's right.
And in everything that might be holding you back. First, you have to ask. You have to ask.
I like this first one.
Yeah, Matthew. Well, I want you to read that scripture.
I'd like to, if you don't mind.
I don't.
Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, and this is in the Classic Amplified Bible. This says it, to me, the way it needs to be said, which is using all of the Greek to make this come alive for you. Starting in verse 7, it says, "Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you for everyone. I like that. Who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and he who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Too often in the day and age in which we live, we have people who, well, I asked and I didn't get anything. You know, the point of it is a persistent, consistent, prayerful life before the Lord, you know, is going to open doors, but it's not going to be the minute you knock on it sometimes. And I mean, it's always great when that happens, but I'm talking about it is a consistent, everyday, day in, day out, you know, being in with the Lord and cognizant of what he's got going on so that he can direct you, and you will be listening at the time he's nudging you or urging, or, you know, making that connection. It is a process that is not like going through the fast food joint and you wish it had been done 5 seconds before it was. Anyway, that's number one.
Did you say the persistent, consistent, or consistent, persistent?
Well, either way.
It works.
That's right. Both of them.
And see, that's really a key.
It is huge.
In fact, we could teach that because
a whole session.
It is being consistent, mm-hmm. or persistent in the
exactly.
word, not giving up, not giving in, not backing up, backing down, sitting down, quit, or walking away. That's what it is.
It's realizing that everything works together for good, seriously. That even when things happen, you know, he says, praise the Lord at all times. That, you know, reverential putting things and allowing him to show you things just because something happens. Did God know about that? Yeah, he sure did.
Wasn't surprised.
And wasn't surprised. That's right. So it's that a matter of just staying consistently with him and listening and not panicking, not worrying, going, Lord, I don't know what, you know, you want in this, but you show me, you know, instead of what did I do wrong? What should I do now? You know, it's like, Lord, you know, I'm resting in you. You show me. Sorry. I had
it's
to get
right.
off
it's
on
good.
That.
Good work. Second, get wisdom to handle the revelation knowledge you receive.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 1:17, the Living Bible. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Amen.
Can somebody say
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And third, exercise our faith by standing on the word. James 1, starting in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and with the wind and tossed. That's verses 6 and 7. So it's a matter of being consistent and going, okay, you know, he'll give it to us. He'll give it to us, but we have to know not to worry.
That's good. I'm still thinking about consistent and persistent.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a teaching on that. Fourth, search the scriptures. You help me?
Uh-huh.
Good. 2 Timothy 13, verses 16 and 17. Mm. New Living Translation. All scriptures inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true. It makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it. Oh. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We talked about this scripture this morning on Rich Sauce for Breakfast. And we talked about the Greek meaning mm-hmm. of good and work and
that's right.
and all that. So if you didn't listen to this morning's call, you need to listen to it
8:30 tomorrow morning.
Before 8:30 in the morning because it's really
time.
Good.
It is. Fifth.
So saith I.
And I. Fifth, be obedient to the word. Luke 11, verse 28 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, but he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied. Rather are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it.
Six, glorify God. Mm-mm. Isaiah 42:21, Classic Amplified. It was the Lord's pleasure for his righteousness' sake, in accordance with a steadfast and consistent purpose, to magnify instruction and revelation and glorify them.
Amen. Seventh, vision precedes revelation. Vision precedes revelation. Psalm 29, verse 18, we could teach a whole one on that. In the Classic Amplified Bible says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he.
We need to understand that just as 2018 began with 365 days, the Lord unfolds wisdom line by line, precept upon precept.
That's right.
In our day of desiring the fastest download a computer can process, the Lord still gives us revelation methodically.
That's right.
And he gives us what, truthfully, we can handle at the time.
At the moment. Mm-hmm.
You know, revelation's like an onion. You ever peel an onion? It's layer after layer after layer. After layer after layer after layer. And that's the way it is about Scripture. You know, it's like peeling an onion because there's continual revelation. And part of that is our level of knowledge and understanding, being able to take that to
that's
a whole another level.
Makes way for the next level.
That's exactly right, in revelation.
Level makes way for the next level. And fortunately, unlike an onion, God's revelation never quits. So that, never get to the end.
And the good news is, if we want more revelation,
yeah,
it comes.
That's right.
But sometimes we got to grasp what we got and do something with what we got.
Exactly.
Before we move to a new level.
As it says in Isaiah 28, verse 10, we referenced, this is in the New Living Translation. He tells us everything over and over, one line at a time. One line at a time, a little here and a little there.
Number two, a prayer of expectation.
Amen.
If we expect change, we can certainly get it. We really can. We need to make a habit to begin each day filled with supernatural expectation about the irresistible charm of Jesus flowing through us in every conversation we have and with every person that we meet.
That's right. Amen. Like Psalm 5, verse 3 in the New International Version says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation.
I want to say those last three words are very important. Wait in expectation. You know, wait upon the Lord. If you've laid it out there,
that's right.
Just wait. Stop talking. Shut up. And listen.
Yeah, there
and
you.
Let him speak to you.
That's it.
Because he'll do it.
If we wait. That's huge, really. Because we're in such a society like, well, I asked the Lord and he didn't say anything. Well, how long did you give him? I don't know. I just prayed about it and then I expected, boom, download. I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes it just takes time.
You have to get yourself centered on his presence.
Yeah.
Focused on him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, then you're literally positioning yourself for revelation.
That's right.
Some point, first part of this year and this month, I'm going to teach two chairs. Mm-hmm. But it's had a profound impact on my life.
It has.
If you walk in my office at home, you'll find two chairs facing each other. That's the first thing I do every morning. Sit in those chairs and have a conversation with God.
Two chairs.
And
for those who might be out there and don't know about it.
Yeah. But it's just wait.
Wait. In expectation.
In expectation.
For him to speak to you.
Make your confession every day.
Yeah.
With a positive expectancy of finding previously unknown opportunities.
Thank
untried
you, Lord.
Potential, supernatural favor,
mm-hmm.
divine connections, revelatory insight, and yes, even goals that will be accomplished.
Hallelujah.
In fact, expectation, and we taught this, when did we teach this? New Year's Day, on Rich Sauce for Breakfast. We taught about expectation. Expectation is a powerful part of our daily time with the Lord, expecting answers, expecting revelation, expecting his presence. Never let your time with the Lord in prayer become so routine that it's kind of in and out. It's like this little boy, every night he And you go to bed, they tell his mom and dad, tell him to say his prayers. You kneel by his bed and go, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. He did it every night. Finally, one day he had an idea, and he wrote it all out, posted it above his bed. That night when he went to bed, he knelt down and said, okay, Lord, there it is. You can read it. I'm going to sleep. Well, we can never let prayer be that routine where it's that way. It's different for your kid. You're teaching a different principle, but we just need to have that expectation. Did I put the confession on the outline? I think I did. Modify this to suit you. Heavenly Father, today I come before you expecting this to be the greatest day of my life. A day filled with unique opportunities to share your love with every person I meet. Thank you, Lord, for the favor which will flow through me today in every conversation. And for this to be a day in which you'll be glorified by what I think, say, and do in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Speak the desire of your heart
right.
in His presence and wait with expectation for the manifestation to come. And it will.
Psalm 62, verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him.
Sadly, many people manifest less than the best because they're not expecting the best. Think about that for a moment. If you're not getting the best, maybe you're not expecting the best. That's a whole nother teaching too. Number three. Third deliverance prayer for spiritual entrepreneurs and prayer of influence. Yes, it's okay to be a person of influence as long as you're directed by the Holy Spirit. God wants each of us to be people of influence for His purposes.
That's right. I mean, and that can be in a multiple of ways. Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, God be merciful and gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us and among us. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. That your way may be known upon earth, your saving power, your deliverance, and your salvation among the nations. One thing that struck me about what we were talking about a second ago, about waiting and expectation. And influence, and even in our influence, is that in not allowing things to get old, is that when we're not, it's not a static situation. It's really it's an ongoing, everyday expectation. And when we do that, I was meditating on this. As we do that, it will keep us from getting stuck into the same things, because what happens is we fall into those lines of thought that have led nowhere for us. And the enemy likes to get you into that. And instead of that, when we're raising our level of expectation, we can throw some of that in the background. This is a great time to do it, the beginning of the year. We throw that in the background and go, okay, I'm looking for something different. I'm looking for something better. I'm not going to dwell on the things that haven't changed or I'm struggling with. I'm looking for new things. New ways, perhaps, to be an influence. New ways to be able to change things. And that's where, that level of expectation is what creates a flow and allows us to go, anyway, where we want to go. And leaves behind some of those things that, those sins that so easily beset us. When it talks about in Hebrews. Okay.
The verse says, cause His face to shine upon us, bless us,
yes,
gracious to us, merciful.
Renewed that, every day.
And that your saving power, your deliverances.
Yes.
Not only that, God wants you to be a VIP.
And you are in His book.
You are in His book. According to American Heritage Dictionary, VIP is defined as very important person. In fact, it says, a person of great importance or influence. That's what it says.
Psalm 112 verse 9 in the New Living Translation says you are a person of influence. It says they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor.
Hallelujah.
So the scripture is clear.
Yep. We're to have influence and honor. Mm-hmm. The way to do that is to be a giver.
Yeah.
And that makes you a VIP.
That's right.
My definition of VIP is a little different. V is for value. How do you see yourself? How do you value yourself? Should be based on the Word of God. Mm. We were created in His image and after His likeness. So that establishes our value. So value, identity, knowing exactly what I just said, who you are in Christ.
That's right.
Never demeaning yourself or your abilities or anything, but always speaking the pure, the powerful, and the positive from the Word of God about you and who you are.
Mm.
And P, value, identity, and purpose. Why are we here on planet Earth? Here are a couple of scriptures that talk about value.
Our value to Him. Philippians 3, verse 8 in the New Living Translation. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage so that I could gain Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, it explains who we are in Him, for Him. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Think of that. God making His appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. And adding to that, an ambassador, when a country sends an ambassador, they represent everything that that country represents. So as ambassadors for Christ, we don't need to belittle the fact that we represent everything that the kingdom of God should represent. I remember telling our kids, you know, my son said, well, you know, I don't know if I want to live like that. And I said, well, then don't call yourself a Christian because you represent everything that Christ has put inside of you. I want to make him think. You know, when we do things, we're representing the Lord. And when you go to places that you shouldn't be, you're dragging Jesus with you. Just saying, it's a truth. You don't, if you know you ought not to go and you know you ought not to do, then think of who you're taking along inside of you. I don't know what caused me to say that, but it's a good word anyway.
I could get on a real rabbit trail here.
Uh-oh.
But I'm not going to.
I started it.
Yeah. We're Christ ambassadors.
Yes,
if you're
are.
An ambassador to another country.
There you go.
You meet with the president or the king of that country, and you present your credentials. And so you would go dressed properly in order to do
that's
that.
Good.
And I'm getting, some of you are not going to like this, but if I'm representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and I'm in church, I'm going to be dressed the best I can while I'm in church. Now, my best may be different than your best. You may be a snappier dresser than I am, but I'm going to dress and act the best that I know how to do. And I think that's what we do. And I'm going to just shut up right there because I really could go off on that.
Well, the point is we are representing the Lord. And, you know, we're valuable to God, and He knows every single solitary
everything
thing
about
us.
Everything. You can hide things from your spouse, your
that's
mama,
it.
Your daddy, your kids, your employer, your pastor, but you can't hide nothing from God.
That's it.
Not only that, He knows what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And nobody else may. You can fool everybody else. Not Him.
That's it.
Not Him.
In Luke 12, verse 7, it says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Think of that, numbered.
Or your beard.
1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, think of that, numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. It's just talking about the value that you are to Him. We are ambassadors. We are to be representing Him fully.
Our influence is not because of who we are, but who we are in him.
That's right. Or who he is in us. Or
who he is in us. God gives us the identity.
Yes.
To be a spiritual entrepreneur with influence.
That's right.
To deliver us from any and everything that's holding us back. He does.
To be the kind of representative.
And have the kind of identity he wants us to have.
That's right. We're talking about, like, you know, in when we go out in our workplace, but in every place, at home, you know, everywhere we go. Matthew 5, verse 48 in the Message Bible says, in a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, you now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives towards you.
We have a God-created identity. Mm. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Boy, we can.
He gives us value, identity,
that's right,
and purpose. He really does. Why are we here? Why are we on planet Earth? Make no mistake about it. God has a person, a purpose for every person's life. You may not think your value may not be recognized by anybody around you, but it is by God.
That's right.
It is by God. And he has a purpose for your life. If he didn't, why didn't it just take you once you get saved? I mean, once you get saved, just kill you and take you on to heaven. But he's got a purpose for us to be here. He has a plan for us to be here.
Yes.
And we need to be a part of that.
Exodus 9, verse 16 in the New Living Translation says, but I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth.
So your prayer for influence should be for you to become what the Word of God says that you can be.
Think of that.
My wife and I do too. We love former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher from Great Britain.
Yeah.
And she once said,
I love
it used to be about trying to do something. Now it's about trying to be someone.
There's too much emphasis on all that anymore. I mean, you know, it used to be that people would get, especially political people, they had a purpose. They got on the school council because they wanted to see the schools change for the better. They got onto this and that, and they went into government to make things better for people. Nowadays, they just want to be somebody that walks around and looks important. I'm like, drives me crazy. And that's what she was really getting at. But the point of it is if we're going to be somebody influential, you know, as described, let's be influential for the Lord, his influence, spreading his influence. And if we're going to do something, you know, influential, then let it count for the kingdom. And that's really the point of our lives.
It is. Number four, prayer for favor.
Yes.
As we pray for favor, it's also important to pray for wisdom.
It's a principle
thing. Luke 2:52 makes it clear.
Yeah.
There is a proportionate increase in favor as we increase in wisdom. Once again, listen to this verse.
Luke 2, verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, the supernatural favor of God can flow through you and give
That's
you.
Right.
And see, your increased wisdom will lead you to increase favor.
Don't get me in this. Genesis 39:21. This is a whole story of it. Says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In everything he did, he had favor. And he was a slave. He was on the lowest rung in the you know, of society. But God gave him favor in everything he did because he behaved himself as an ambassador for the Lord.
While most believers will never find themselves incarcerated or in prison, I should say, confined in a prison, they often can be incarcerated by their surroundings.
Yes.
That's a better way to say it. Feeling that freedom, financial and otherwise, is just an elusive dream. But it's not.
That's right.
No matter what circumstances you're facing, God can move you from the prison to the palace. Now, that can be a literal prison to palace.
That's right.
But it also can be a mental prison to the palace when we recognize who we are in Him.
That's right.
Because His irresistible charm flows through us.
It can change hearts and attitudes toward you. Like it says in Acts 7, verse 10 in the Classic Amplified. I was talking back about Joseph. And delivered him from all his distressing afflictions and won him goodwill and favor and wisdom and understanding in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him governor over Egypt and all his house. You know, if you'd asked Joseph at any point in any of that journey, I'm sure he would have said, I don't know how the Lord could possibly do it. I just believe that something could go turn in my favor. I mean, think about that. And there is time, a preparation time. You know, what we're going through, it involves everything that's happening to us around. We may think this is a random thing here or there, but it's really not. Everything is taken together to make us who we are and to influence us like we are. Because Psalm 105, verse 19, I love this, and it shows us. This is in the New Living Translation. It says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. He tested Joseph's character. And, you know, God will give you favor with people who've tortured you, laughed at you, you know, perhaps even enslaved you. Yeah, made fun of you. You know, when we do what, when we walk in God's righteous, you know, character and don't succumb to the temptations of the world to, you know, go back and get back after them, you know, but walk in love toward people that may not be very kind to you. And there are a lot of people out there that are sometimes not very kind. So, but the Lord proves it time and time again, really, like it says, and it's in Exodus 12:36 in the Classic Amplified, when the children of Israel left Egyptian slavery. Says the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked for. And they stripped the Egyptians of those things. God's Word translation of Exodus 12:36 says, so the Israelites stripped Egypt of its wealth. You know, God has a way of leveling the playing field when we leave things and do things His way. Hallelujah.
But we're called as Joseph was.
That's right.
To work with the process.
That's right.
The Lord's testing our character. The more testing, the greater the calling.
That's right.
And somebody just said, well, I know I'm being called to something great because I'm going through a lot of tests.
Yeah.
Well, I used to say and still do when I teach sometimes, seminars, that the only way that you can have a testimony is to go through the test. Mm-hmm.
And skip the moanies.
Yeah, skip the moanies. But there's more than one test.
Yeah.
You have to get through it to get on the other side.
That's right.
When you get on the other side, it gets even better. And you'll have more favor with every person that you meet.
Amen.
And some of these people you're going to meet, they won't even know why they're giving you favor.
That's right.
Won't have a clue. Seven ways that you should pray for favor. First, pray for. Believe and expect continual supernatural moves of God in your life. Mm-mm. Daily.
Amen. Second, you'll find favor. You will move in favor by doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. That helps.
Third, always be a person of integrity even when no one else is around.
Amen.
After all, God is always around and is always watching and listening.
He knows. Fourth, be a person of character instead of being a character.
I had fun writing that one.
Yeah.
Fifth, live an Ephesians 6:8 lifestyle.
Yes.
Whatever good thing you cause to happen to somebody else, the Lord is going to do for you.
That's right.
I like it.
Sixth, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Seventh, position yourself for favor, His favor, to flow through you to other people that you meet.
Yes. Proverbs 19, verse 6 in the New American Standard says, many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. That's an interesting.
Yep, it is. Number five.
Scripture for that.
We won't get into it because of time. Number five, a prayer for focus, a prayer of focus.
Yeah.
When it comes to how change is going to manifest in your life in 2018, we should pray for focus.
Yes.
We can't possibly improve on the Lord's Prayer. And let me say this. I don't know about anybody else, but the more I pray and I'm in His presence, the more the enemy tries to break my focus. And he wants you focusing on this or that, this problem or that problem. Mm-hmm. And about 3 weeks ago, I was praying one morning, the Lord said to me, focus on His promise, not your problems. Focus on My promises, not your problems. Yeah. And that's the key.
That is good. Want me to read the Lord's Prayer?
Yep, I do.
I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. This is in the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, pray therefore like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, keep holy, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven, left and remitted, and let go of the debts, and have given up resentment against our debtors. And lead, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You can actually take that and break it down. Mm-hmm. Our Father who is in heaven. See, when we say that, we're acknowledging our great God Jehovah is our Heavenly Father. And after all, as I said earlier, we're made in His image and after His likeness. So any success we have is because of who our Heavenly Father is and how much He loves us.
Mm-hmm. Hallowed or holy be His name. His name is above every name and all other names. So there is no one greater in heaven or on earth than the great God Jehovah. And we have the chance to come into His presence. So it's really through the blood of Jesus, though, in which we have Jesus' righteousness, which allows us to be able to enter that presence, not our own righteousness. You can't deserve it, but we can embrace it.
Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God sent Jesus to seek and to save them which were lost. If that was His mission, then it should be our mission as well. Brother Harold, I'm not a soul winner. Well, maybe not a soul winner yet. But you can be a witness. You know, you can be a witness. Say, well, let me just tell you what's happened in my life. This is the way I was. This is the way I am now. And the only difference is my relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
I was teaching at a prison once. There's a guy who was a Muslim sitting on the front row. And he said, prove Jesus to me. I said, prove Him to yourself. I know He's real. I said, I know what I was before and I know what I am now. You know, you prove Him to yourself. When you do that, He'll be real to you. Mm-hmm. And by the way, He's not in His grave. I had to throw that in. Muhammad is, but Jesus is.
Okay. And the next part.
The next part.
Give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, God supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory. Through Christ, it's really spelled out in Philippians 4:19.
Hallelujah. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven, left, remitted, and let go of the debts and giving up resentment against our debtors.
Mm.
Three words. Forgive and forget.
Mm.
That's on so many levels.
Oh, yeah.
So much truth to that. God can never do a new thing in your life if you hold on to the past, you keep dragging it up, bringing it up, talking about it. And most of the time when somebody does that, they're just trying to make themselves feel better because they know they're not doing what they ought to be doing.
Mm.
My opinion.
Okay. And lead us, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, I love that God always provides a way of escape, and there's nothing better than 1 Corinthians 10:13. Everybody ought to really memorize this so they could say it at any point. This is in the New King James. It says, no temptation, I love that, no temptation, has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So there is nothing that we can't escape from, because God gives us that way of escape, that scripture to claim.
For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. We serve a great God who can meet and surpass all of our needs or expectations. Mm. And one more thing, as we pray for focus on things that are important in our lives, we must have becomes a personal plan of success, implementing the skills.
Amen.
You know, over the years, I've interacted with some creative people who had million-dollar ideas and less than a dollar's worth of implementation skills. You know, had great ideas, just couldn't finish. Got to be a finisher.
That's it.
When God gives it, He gives it all. Number six, prayer of increase. When it comes to praying for increase, can't think of a better example than Jabez.
That's right.
And I should point out quickly that I don't have time, we don't have time tonight, to give the elaborate revelatory insight that you find in the book of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson. So, it's a great book, and
encourage you to read it.
Give the revelation the Lord gave to you.
But the story.
Let me say this to him too.
Okay.
Sometimes you can have read a book,
but you need to go back and read it again. I know what he thinks. I've been married to him long enough.
46 years.
45 years.
Almost 46. 45 years, 10 months, and 3 days. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can read a book, but you need to read it again.
Mm-hmm. And get it.
We have a book called Miracle Money. Mm-hmm. And we were stirred to encourage people to read it again on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And we've had amazing testimonies from that.
Yeah, it's good. It's just anointed.
It really is.
It is.
So if you read Jabez, read it again.
That's it.
Bottom line.
1 Chronicles 4:9-10.
I like this.
This is in the New Living Translation, is what Jabez.
It's what God wants to do for us.
Exactly.
To be an overcomer in 2018.
That's right. Says there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. There's one thing I want to throw in on that real quick. And that is that Jabez was not named. Back then, names told who you were. So it's like he didn't like his name because his mother named him because he was painful. The point of it is God changes things for you. You know, you might say, well, you know, this is just the lot I was given, or this is just what has fallen to me. Then ask God to change it and ask him what it takes to turn it around. Hallelujah. I had to throw that in.
That's good. So don't call somebody Jabez.
Yeah, they might not like that.
They may think you're calling them pain.
If they know what it is.
Seven things about Jabez. First, he was more honorable than any of his brothers.
Second, he was the one who took the time to pray to God. You have not because you ask not.
Third, he was specific in his request. He asked God to bless him.
That's right.
Because God is a God of specificity.
Mm. And fourth, he asked for increase. You know, when you had more territory, you could do more with the land back then.
Fifth, he wanted God's direction and abiding presence in all that he did.
Sixth, he specifically asked to be free of trouble and pain.
Seventh, God granted his request.
Hallelujah.
As spiritual entrepreneurs, we'd be wise to bottle our prayer for increase after Jabez. Unfortunately, as I said, don't have time to teach it, but I do encourage you to read it. And we need to move on because of time to the seventh prayer of deliverance for this year of 2018. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 16:15.
I like it. 7 days thou shalt keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place where the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice.
What stirred in me on this scripture was to encourage everybody watching around the world here tonight to create a special prayer for increase, lifted before the Lord for 7 days. So that he can bless you with increase, the work of your hands. You can create your own prayer. You can model it after Jabez.
Yeah.
But write it out where you can read it, see it, and even confess it on a regular basis.
I like that.
Number seven, a prayer for boldness.
Wow. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
Where does boldness come from? The Master of the Universe, the Great I Am, the Everlasting One, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings.
Amen.
The Greek word for boldness is G3954. G3954. And it means freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech, free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance.
That's what we have when we have the Word of God.
When we are confident and who we are in him.
That's right.
When we walk by faith.
Yes.
Not by sight. There's a supernatural surge in us that produces a boldness that really is clearly evident to anybody around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, want to hear that again?
Sure.
It just
like
comes
taking
in.
Off in the spirit.
A boldness. You are. Soaring high.
That's it.
The boldness is evident in our speech, the things we do, the favor in which we walk, and the miracles manifesting around us. We've had some major miracles in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Just supernatural manifestation.
God is there.
He really is.
Acts 4, verses 29 through 31 in the New Living Translation says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness.
As we're moving into 2018,
that's
a year of deliverance, our year of deliverance from any and everything that's holding us back.
That's right.
We need to pray for boldness to do the things, to do things we've never done before.
In the Word of God.
And not only do it with boldness, but with clarity and focus to see what we've never seen so we can be what we've never been.
That's right.
We're not limited by our past experience. We're limited by that being our only reality. Our new reality needs to be the boldness that we move in with God, the revelatory insight. You know,
we've never been more equipped than we are right now with all the experiences that we've lived right up to this very moment.
Here's what you need to know. We have so much potential.
Yes.
Untapped potential. Unused potential, if you will. That we need to tap into. But we got to believe God for it.
We got to believe that he can.
And he will, and that he wants to.
That's right.
Because he will.
Because he does.
He
and,
does.
You know, and when we're going through a Joseph experience and we think, there's no way. He had to have thought, I don't know how and why I'm doing this, because I love God and I'm going to stick with him. Because there certainly was absolutely not a shred of evidence that anything would ever change for him. It even got worse. Don't ever give up. because God can do the impossible.
He is the God of the impossible.
That's right.
But
never give up.
We got to believe.
That's it.
We got to believe.
Believe and be steadfast.
We used to have a button years ago. You got to believe.
Yeah. I have some buttons around.
I need to find that button. I do.
I think of other buttons. But anyway, oh my goodness, here we go. This is his new look.
Everybody in the congregation tonight likes it except for my wife.
You know they were being polite.
And, okay. But she's the one that counts.
That's what you say.
I'm warming my head.
Oh, your head. It's been very
it's
cold here.
Quilted.
What is it supposed to be tonight?
17.
17 degrees, so.
It was 5 last night.
That's it. Anyway.
Hey, we love you. We appreciate you joining us tomorrow morning. Rich Sauce for breakfast. And until we meet again, God bless you. Thank you for your support.
Yes.
Prayers and financial. Happy trails. And
keep thinking rich thoughts.
Hallelujah. We love you.